Welcome to the second podcast in our three-part series looking at the termination of commercial contracts. I'm Ben Longworth, a partner in our disputes resolution team.
And I'm Charlie Thurston, an associate also in our disputes resolution team.
In our first podcast, we dealt with the potential grounds for terminating a contract. We're now going to look at the mechanics of termination and how to avoid some of the common procedural pitfalls if you decide to terminate. We'll be asking three main questions. First, how much time do you have to terminate the contract? Second, should you give the defaulting party a chance to put right any breaches of contract? And thirdly, are there specific formalities to follow when terminating? And finally, we'll finish by discussing some points to consider if you're on the receiving end of a termination notice. As we mentioned last time, we'll be producing a checklist to cover the main points to consider before terminating a contract, and that will be available on our website after the third and final episode of the podcast is released. So, Charlie, looking at the first question, if a party wants to terminate a contract, how long do they have to do so?
Well, this will depend on whether they are terminating the contract by exercising a contractual right to terminate or relying on the common law right to terminate for a repudiatory breach by the other party. We covered these two main avenues of termination in the last episode, but essentially a repudiatory breach is one that is sufficiently serious that it deprives the innocent party of substantially all of the benefit of the contract and therefore permits that party to terminate. So if you want to exercise a contractual right to terminate, it's vital to look carefully at the contractual termination clause as soon as possible. Termination clauses often include a deadline for giving notice to terminate once a breach has arisen or once the innocent party becomes aware of a breach. If that deadline is missed, the innocent party can lose the contractual right to terminate. They would then have to fall back on the common law right to terminate, but as we discussed in our first podcast, that means showing that there was a repudiatory breach of contract, which can be a relatively high hurdle. If there is no contractual right to terminate, or if that right has been lost, you will need to consider whether you can exercise the common law right. In those circumstances, you have a reasonable time to investigate the breach and decide to terminate. If you don't terminate within a reasonable time, the right to terminate can be lost because you are seen as having implicitly accepted that the contract should continue. What constitutes a reasonable time generally depends on the following three factors. First, the length of the term of the contract. A shorter contract will generally result in a shorter period to investigate a breach. Secondly, the complexity of the contract and the breach itself. In both respects, the more complex, the longer the aggrieved party should be given to investigate. For example, in the case of Force India Formula One team and Etihad Airways, which concerned a complex and medium-term sponsorship agreement and a breach which occurred during the winter break between racing seasons, a delay of 3 to 4 months following the breach was found not to constitute a decision to affirm, particularly as the facts and consequences of the breach took some time to become clear. Thirdly, it is necessary to consider whether there is any particular urgency, such as an upcoming substantial payment or other contractual event, which might render a delay in deciding whether to terminate to be unreasonable.
Great. And I think there are a couple of practical steps that an aggrieved party would be well advised to take at an early stage if they suspect a breach by the other party. The first is to say clearly to the other party in writing that while you're investigating a potential breach, your right to terminate for breach is reserved. Sometimes, as Charlie said, you'll need time to investigate, perhaps to take legal advice on whether a breach is serious enough to give you the right to terminate, and also to think about whether termination is the right thing to do from a commercial perspective. That can take some time, and reserving your rights reduces the risk that you lose the right to terminate just because of the passage of time. The second practical point is to make sure that you gather and preserve as much evidence as possible about the breach and its consequences, so that if there is a subsequent dispute, you're in the best possible position to prove your case. Okay, so now I'm going to move on to our second question, which is whether you should give the defaulting party a chance to remedy their breach of contract before you terminate. There are legal and practical aspects to this question. From a legal perspective, the starting point, as is so often the case, should be to look carefully at the terms of the contract. Often contracts require the innocent party to give the party that has breached a certain period to remedy the breach, And the contractual right to terminate only kicks in if the breach isn't put right in that period. That sort of clause won't necessarily displace the common law right to terminate for a repudiatory breach, but it is important to think carefully about the effect of the clause before terminating.
Absolutely. And from a more practical perspective, termination is obviously a serious step. And as with most disputes, it always makes sense to take a step back and look at the situation in the round. Even if the other party has clearly breached the contract, is termination the right course for your business? It's important to think about the practical implications of termination. Usually, once a contract is terminated, any obligations within it come to an end. This might mean that future payments or product deliveries are no longer required. This may cause the innocent party difficulty if, for example, an alternative supplier cannot be found and it can't fulfil its own obligations in related contracts. The innocent party may even find itself negotiating a new contract with the original party, but from a weakened negotiating position. Depending on the nature of the breach, it may therefore be more convenient and economically practical to allow the defaulting party a chance to remedy the breach, or even to consider an alternative option, such as varying the contract. It also remains open to claim damages for breach of contract, even if you decide not to terminate. If there is a dispute about any damages due, that can be resolved through negotiation or even litigation while the contract continues. However, it is important to remember that if the innocent party affirms a contract, in other words, acts as though it intends the contract to continue even after it has been breached, the right to terminate can be lost. The right to terminate may also be lost if the party in breach quickly takes steps to remedy that breach before termination. If you are looking to get out of a contract, it is therefore important to think about terminating quickly if you have the right to do so.
I would just add that once notice of termination has been served on the other party, it generally can't be revoked. So if the contract requires you to give the other party the chance to remedy a breach, or if you may want the contract to continue, you shouldn't give notice to terminate just as a negotiating tactic. Doing so could backfire and give the party in breach a much stronger hand. Okay, so on to our third question. When a party has decided to terminate the contract, is there a set procedure or any formalities they need to follow to effect termination?
Well, as we've said, you should first check that the right of termination still applies. If some time has passed, is it still safe to rely on the original grounds for termination? If there is a risk that the right to terminate has been lost, then you should think very carefully before purporting to terminate. As we'll see in our third podcast, the consequences of terminating where there is no right to terminate can be very serious. Assuming the right to terminate remains, it's important that any requirements for formalities in the contract are followed, or the termination may not be effective. At one end of the spectrum, the contract might simply say that notices have to be sent by post or email to a particular address. However, some contracts set out a more complicated dispute resolution procedure with various escalatory steps that must be followed before notice can even be given.
And what about the form of a termination notice?
In the absence of any provision in the contract, there is no prescribed form of notice, although it is sensible to do so in writing. Where it is not possible to give notice in writing, the giving of notice should be confirmed in writing as soon as possible. A notice must be clear that you intend to terminate, and generally, the grounds for termination should be set out. Ideally, that would include details of the breach on which you are relying, together with reference to any specific provisions of the contract that are relevant, as well as dates of key incidents and correspondence. It is also important to state when the termination will be effective from. This may be immediate or governed by a notice period stated in the contract.
And what about communicating the notice?
It is well established that communication of a termination notice must be clear and unequivocal. To be clear, the party's notice must communicate that it is terminating the contract. The notice is not, for example, a demand for compliance or a threat or warning. For example, a letter merely threatening to terminate a contract, if payment is not made within the next 2 days, would not terminate the contract. It is merely a threat of termination. To be unequivocal, the notice must terminate the whole contract. It cannot affirm part and terminate the rest.
Okay, thanks, Charlie. That's really helpful. Most of what we've said so far has been aimed at the innocent party looking to terminate a contract. But just before we finish, I want to look quickly at the position of a party who receives the termination notice. Most of these points are the mirror image of the points for the terminating party. And the common theme is that it's important to act quickly and to take legal advice if you need it to make sure you're in the best possible position. So if you receive a termination notice, first check that the notice complies with any contractual requirements and procedures. A failure to comply by the terminating party may not be a silver bullet, it won't ultimately resolve the underlying issues, and it could possibly be remedied. But procedural failures could at least buy you some time. Secondly, you should think about whether there are any grounds for challenging the termination, perhaps on the basis that the breach of contract is disputed or that the terminating party had affirmed the contract. Even if those arguments are not ultimately successful, they may give you some leverage to negotiate a better outcome. Thirdly, from a tactical perspective, think about any other avenues for improving your position. For example, has the terminating party also breached the contract in any way, or is there an opportunity for you to cure any breach, or at least offer to do so? Finally, make sure you keep records of all communications with the aggrieved party regarding the grounds for termination and the termination itself.
So that's been a quick run through the mechanics of terminating a contract. The main takeaway point is really that attention to detail and specific procedures set out in the contract are crucial here, and that time can be of the essence, whichever side of the contractual dispute you find yourself on. We would say this, wouldn't we? But it is worth taking legal advice at an early stage to avoid inadvertently waiving valuable contractual rights, or finding yourself in a position it is difficult and costly to extract yourself from. In our next and final episode, we'll look at the consequences of termination for both parties to a contract. Please join us for that soon.